This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Welcome to the Sword and Laser episode number 79. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And this is the podcast where we talk about our favorite books in the science fiction and fantasy genres, talk about what we're reading, what's coming out in the near future. Sometimes we do author interviews. Sometimes we talk about TV shows. Whatever.
Every once in a while, we even check in on a book in our book club.
In fact, we do have books in the book club. And we're wrapping up a couple, not officially today. We're still giving them a little more time. Is that right?
Yeah, we're giving them more time. We'll talk about that in the wrap-up section, but there was some debate on the Goodreads about kicking off books and wrapping them up. We'll talk about that.
Exactly. But first today, we shall get to the quick burns.
Ow. Burns.
It's Bernie.
Little Bernie. The Encyclopedia of Science Fiction 3rd edition is live, and it's so huge only the internet could contain it.
So big it is clogging tubes all over the internet. So no,
yeah, the
not
previous
really
two editions of the encyclopedia were pretty darn massive. This one is so big they aren't printing it yet. It is a beta release consisting of about 75% of the text of the full book. The remainder will be released over the next year or so with regular updates afterwards. So they're pretty much moving into it being like an encyclopedia, Wikipedia style website. And it is impressive looking.
I still want the hardcover book.
You know, I hope that they do put out another print version of this eventually. But that would be a lot of trees.
Yeah, it would be a lot of trees. That's true. But you can see the whole thing over at sf-encyclopedia.com, and you can browse all the different authors they have on there and the themes and different media, culture, all entries, news. It's pretty neat, actually. I think I could spend a lot of time on here. It doesn't seem that complete yet, though.
Well, that's it, the thing. It isn't 75% there, so there's going to be some things missing. For instance, the thing that leaped out at me when I tried it was George R.R. Martin.
What about him?
Didn't have an entry.
What? Oh, there's nothing for Patrick Rothfuss either. But yeah, he's not really science fiction. Both of those people are fantasy writers.
Well,
to be fair.
And I would assume that it would bleed over, but maybe that's why. Maybe they're not going to be in there.
Like I searched for Watts just now and Peter Watts came up.
Okay, so they're being strict about it. They're saying laser only, please.
Mm-hmm. We've got Robert J. Sawyer. He came up. Let's see. There's got to be Heinlein. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Heinlein better be in there.
That would be weird. So that's cool. I'm happy it's online because it's a great resource, not only for people like us, but also just for people who want to learn more about the science fiction world. And though I think it would be a really great coffee table book.
It is weird now that I think about it.
The biggest coffee table book ever.
George R. R. Martin to be in there.
I don't know.
Let science fiction and fantasy just bleed into one bubbly pool in my head.
Genre
bleed.
No, that's why they just call it genre fiction sometimes, you know? It's a lot of people lump them together for a reason.
But then horror is genre fiction.
That's true. It's true.
So then it starts to bleed. That's too bleedy. Too much blood.
I don't like blood.
It's like a Joe Abercrombie book in there. And if you want it on your coffee table, I was going to suggest your iPad.
Yeah, that's much lighter. It's not as likely to actually break your coffee table once you put it down. Oh, that's awesome. There's a post on boingboing.net this week from Cory Doctorow about Agatha H. and the Airship City, which is the first prose novel about Agatha Clay, who's the heroine of the Foglio's webcomic series, Girl Genius.
And yeah, so it's very steampunky stuff. If you like steampunky stuff, you want to go all genre on me, try out Agatha H. and Airship City. Cory Doctorow is apparently a huge fan. I had never read the Foglio stuff that was in the monster. What was it? It was called What's New with Phil and Dixie in the back of Dragon magazine. Did you ever read it?
No, I didn't. But I've heard very good things about Girl Genius, so yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
It's definitely their comic. I don't know, their comic sensibilities captured in prose form. So you're reading a book. Cory Doctorow says that some of the action scenes are a little bit like scripts for comics, but it is sort of the best of the comic with the ability to tell what's going on in the character's mind. So It's available now.
Yeah, you can pick it up on Amazon. They've got a Kindle edition for $8. Hardcover is like $16.50. You get a Prime membership, and they've got a paperback version too. There's also an audiobook version, so maybe I'll have to give that a listen sometime. Though I'm kind of knee-deep in steampunk female heroine stories right now with my Gail Carriger going on.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I need a little bit of a break right now. Oh, there's only 15 left in stock of the hardcover. So grab them now. Like
that can't be true.
That's what it says.
I know. I know it's what it says. I saw that.
That's what it says on Amazon. Everything on the internet is true.
More. It's a print-on-demand world. How could they only have 15 left?
They only have 15 copies left of the Kindle version.
Of the Kindle version.
No.
Yeah. Then they're out.
They're running out of e-ink.
What is not coming out anytime soon in any amount of copies is Alistair Reynolds' Blue Remembered Earth, but I'm so excited about this. I might try to find a way to buy the UK version.
Why are you so excited about it?
Well, it just sounds like an awesome series. It's the first of a Poseidon's Children series, comprising three novels set at different points over 11,000 years of future history.
Wow.
So I love these epic historical things like Dune and Sword and Claw, Shadow and Claw. So the first novel is going to focus on industrialized Africa as humanity settles the rest of the solar system. I kind of want to get into this series on the ground floor. Novel's due out in the UK on January 19th, and not in the United States until June 5th.
Wow, that's a long delay.
I know. That's ridiculous.
Maybe you can find a UK listener to ship you over a copy.
Yeah, or I think you can sometimes buy
from
things,
like a specialty store.
Yeah,
or something.
You can buy them and import them. Or maybe I'll just go to London and buy it.
There you go. It's probably cheaper. Yeah, that's exactly. Bound to be more economical.
It's bound to be more fun.
Well, maybe sometime in the future we'll have some magical way of shipping books through some kind of transporter, and the people who would predict that kind of thing have been talking to people in the science world. What the hell am I saying? What I'm trying to say is that there's an article on Slashdot. Kevin J. Anderson wrote a post called Science Fiction's Take on the Future of Computers, Visionaries and Imaginaries. And he talked to a lot of really great authors like Mike Resnick, Robert J. Sawyer, Greg Bear, Mike Stackpole, Dr. Gregory Benford, and Christopher Paolini. And they talked about all the things that they think are possible, like actually in the relatively near future and where technology is going. And this is really cool because I'm actually doing a panel tomorrow at the Web 2 Summit about smart technologies and future technologies. So I'm going to basically read everything they say in this article and then talk about it tomorrow.
And then pretend it's your idea.
And pretend it was my ideas.
Like, I totally told Robert J. Sawyer this at DragonCon. That's the only reason he wrote it.
I'm really sorry that I totally ruined that segue. I know you're usually pretty proud of your segues.
It's all right.
I butchered it. I can't live up to the standards you set.
You know, there's no reason to call attention to it anymore.
No,
it's mangled
just,
corpse.
It hurt. It was
lying
like,
there between the stories.
I saw it like tumbling down the stairs and there was nothing I could do.
Things happen.
Segways aren't even supposed to fall over.
I know.
They had gyroscopes for
that
kind of thing.
What is that segue doing on the stairs in the first place? It had no business there.
That's dangerous.
For a segue.
who would do such a thing? Anyway, it's a really great post. It's a really great article. There's some excellent insights. You know, as we talked to Robert J. Sawyer back at Dragon Con, I mean, sometimes people get it right. There's so many science fiction writers out there. They're all coming up with amazing ideas. They've all done a fair amount of research. And so once in a while, they actually kind of hit the nail on the head.
Well, there's been a lot of talk and research and study of how science fiction definitely shapes what real researchers end up doing, because they have it in their mind. Oh, a communicator. And then mm-hmm. we get a cell phone. I mean, that's way oversimplifying what people are doing, but they're saying we need that imagination, which is why we've had these stories about NASA kind of teaming up with sci-fi authors. So it's another example of that. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, very cool. But let's look into the future once again.
Wow. In the future?
In the future, and talk about the upcoming calendar releases.
Yeah, we've been talking about some of these books for a while. I've taken to saying we should look about 3 weeks ahead on our calendar segments, mm-hmm. just because that gives you plenty of time. And that way we don't miss anything if we go 3 weeks between episodes for some reason. So Aloha from Hell by Richard Kadrey, coming out tomorrow, October 18th. Zone 1 by Colson Whitehead, also coming out tomorrow, October 18th. And October 20th, The Iron Jackal by Chris Wooding. Is coming out. So those are the things coming out very soon. What's coming out next a little farther down the road?
We've got a new Murakami book, Haruki Murakami.
We've been talking about this one a lot.
We have, and apparently I've been saying it wrong, and I'm still not really sure how to say it right. It's either 1Q84 or IQ84. And one of the people in the forums yelled at me, and I'm not really sure which way it went.
It's Murakami's book.
There's not supposed to be any right answer, right, with a Murakami? It's just supposed to be however you interpret it, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Maybe they're testing you to see if you know that.
I'm failing the test. So I'm excited about that one. I'm a big Murakami fan. And then also on the 27th, we have The Kingdom of Gods from N.K. Jemisin, which we've also discussed. And then on the 27th as well, Initiate's Trial by Jannie Wirtz, the 9th volume in Wirtz's immense Wars of Light and Shadow series, and the first of three that will conclude the overall huge epic.
All right,
it sounds like, yeah, that's the 9th. That's a trilogy of trilogies. I'm a fan of trilogies.
The nine trilogy?
Mm-hmm.
The law of trilogies.
The law of threes.
And then here's some we haven't mentioned before, I don't think. November 8th, The Alloy of Law, a Mistborn novel by Brandon Sanderson.
How does he find the time to write a new Mistborn novel?
That's incredible. Between all of his other writing projects, he has somehow pumped out a fourth Mistborn novel. It's quite short, is the only thing.
All right.
But it's set several centuries after the first trilogy and sees Allomancy being used in a more technologically advanced environment. So that's pretty intriguing. It's almost like it's steampunk Sanderson.
I like it. And then on the 8th as well, we have Stands a Shadow by Carl Buchanan. The sequel to Farlander, one of 2010's more enjoyable fantasy debuts, sees the Empire of Man's assault on Barkos intensify.
Barkos!
Wilts the Roshran target the Empress herself for retribution after the death of one of their own. I feel like I'm coming in like in the middle of that story right there. It's like, I don't really know what's going on. Like, you know, of course, the Barkos.
I just decided when I come across words like this that I don't actually know how to pronounce, I'm just going to shout and grunt them.
Barkos!
Barkos!
And then also, finally, November 8th, big day, November 8th, mm-hmm. Endurance by Jay Lake, fierce kick-ass heroine from the eponymous Green, returns to Copper Downs. She left after rebelling against her... Jay Lake is the author. I got confused there because it says Jay Lake's fierce kick-ass heroine, but... Jay Lake's fierce kick-ass heroine from the eponymous Green returns to Copper Downs. She'd left after rebelling against her training as a courtesan, killing the immortal Duke and generally wreaking havoc. But now the gods need her protection. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, divinity destroying a magician's wander in, and suddenly they need her help. So that's what's going on in Endurance.
Nice. A lot of good stuff coming up. Speaking of magicians, I'm actually thinking of picking up The Magicians by Lev Grossman after you talked it up in the last episode.
I am reading The Magician King right
the second
now,
book, right?
Which is the sequel. I loved The Magicians by Lev Grossman. I think it's a great series. And the audiobook is well read. Mm-hmm. It's a good pick.
I think that's going to be my next Audible pick. And speaking of Audible, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles.
Is it more than 100,000? Oh my God.
It is. It's unbelievable. How do they even fit all those books on there? Anyway, all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you the chance to try out their service. And this week, I thought it would be fun to take a look at, what did I pick? Snuff by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, cool. Is and that an audiobook?
It is. And it's narrated by Stephen Briggs. And if you're a Terry Pratchett fan, this is the newest one in the... This is Discworld. Yep, it's a Discworld
book,
of
Discworld.
Course.
This is a Discworld. Yes, it is.
And I'm curious to know where it fits into the rest of Discworld and what characters are going to show up. Good stuff. Yeah, so if you want to pick it up, audiblepodcast.com/sword, get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today.
And if you are already doing Audible because you're like, look, you people, I've been listening to Sword and Laser for years now. I signed up for Audible a long time ago. Just do us a good turn and a friend a good turn and tell them go to audiblepodcast.com/sword and get a free book. Mm-hmm. You can, that URL will work for anyone in the world.
All right, well, now it's time for Bear Your Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. Jenny started a thread over on Goodreads. She's saying, Neal Stephenson, feminist? She says, I'm only about 300 pages in, so I might change my tune, but I'm starting to realize I really like the female characters in Reamdi, which is our alternate pick for the book club this week. She said, you know, contrast Zula with Peter, for example, mm-hmm. or look at, quote, Bigfoot. And even the new character just being introduced, who we meet, I don't want to give away any spoilers.
About 30% in, you meet a new character.
Yeah, I'm about 40% of the way through right now, 45%.
I'm like 52.
Is this a competition now?
It is.
It's a competition now? Losing. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
And then Terp Kristen goes on to say, the surprising strength of the female characters is a large part of what's keeping me interested so far. I'm getting a little bored of the, well, improbability of it all. Much like I got bored with Damon and Demon and Freedom TM.
Terp Kristen!
Really? I didn't know she didn't like those books.
Bored? Oh, I'm wounded. Okay, I'll recover.
She goes on to say, I kind of wish that they were doing more with the terrain stuff. Maybe they'll come back to it. I'm only 40% complete. Yeah, I'm curious about that, too. I mean, I think they're going to have to come back around to that storyline at some point.
Stevenson wouldn't set you up with all this stuff at the beginning to never go back to it.
Are you sure?
I'm 71%
sure. You're fairly confident.
I'm also 52% in, so I know a little bit, but I actually don't know for sure.
Don't know if we by 50% we haven't gotten back to terrain yet?
No spoilers, not saying anything.
Oh, come on. Just say if we come back to it.
We don't come back to terrain.
Like you don't go back into the world ever?
So not far? At this point in the novel, I have not gone back into the world.
Interesting. Well, I am curious to see how it continues in the future. I'm enjoying it.
You know what? I feel like it really started picking up for me around the 42% mark. Somewhere after 40, mm-hmm. I started wanting to pick it up. Like up until that, it was like, okay, I got to read Reamdi and then I'd fall asleep. Or I got to read Reamdi. Oh, I get interrupted. I was never going and finding time to read it. You know, I was just reading it in my normal times. Then somewhere after 40%, I started to be like, oh, I want to. Do I have a chance? I have some time. I'm going to grab Reamdi. Oh, I'm going to pull it up on my phone and read it. You know, and that's when I know the book has finally hooked me, is when I'm squeezing it in other parts. Like even at work, I'm like, oh, maybe I could just take a few minutes and read some Reamdi. So I feel like it's really getting going.
I got really into it the night I got bit in the face by a mosquito and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I got up and read for a few
hours. Insomnia will
help.
This book is good for that.
Well, it didn't make me sleepy, but I knew I was not going to get a sleep. Go to sleep again for the rest of the
night. That sounds horrible. No, I didn't mean this book would put you to sleep, but it's a great book to read when you can't sleep.
When you can't sleep.
Because it entertains you.
Very much so. I got bit in the face by a mosquito.
It's actually a horrible book to read when you have insomnia. You got bit in the face?
For the third and fourth time this week.
You need some
Not in the face. Pick. Not all in the face. I got bit on the neck twice in the beginning of the week.
Mosquito.
And then I got bit in the face on my cheek. And then I got bit on my arm. And the arm was the worst one.
Have you taken any preventive measures?
Well, yeah, I sleep with the window closed now, which sucks. Because it's hot and I don't have air conditioning.
Would you rather get bit?
No. No, I'd rather be hot.
And may the jokes begin.
That sounds like a Twilight subplot. Would you rather be hot or bit? Neither. I hate mosquitoes. Anyway, Jason started a thread actually about Siri. If you have a new iPhone 4S, then you are well acquainted with the artificial intelligence assistant known as Siri. Did you get your new iPhone yet? I don't have one.
No, I'm not getting one.
Oh, really? Do tell.
I dunked my iPhone 4 in the pool
this summer. Oh, yeah, I was there
and
for that.
I bought a new iPhone 4 unlocked, and I don't feel that this one provides enough that I have to upgrade because I just spent all this money on a new one.
That's very responsible of you.
It gets harder, a little harder every day. But there really isn't, other than Siri, which they could put on the iPhone 4 because I had it as an app. So that just makes me very angry.
Well, if you
if you jailbreak it, you can do it. What's that?
They've already done the jailbreak.
Yeah, I know. I saw that today, so I might do that.
Anyway, Jason started a thread saying, apparently on the iPhone 4S, you can ask Siri to open the pod bay doors or ask what the ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything is. He says, suddenly I'm considering upgrading from my 3GS. One thing it won't do is the classic Monty Python question of the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow, as it's powered by Wolfram Alpha and will respond with cold, hard facts, unfortunately.
It should ask you African or European.
Let's see, what is it? What does Wolfram Alpha say? I don't know why I'm having such trouble saying Wolfram Alpha. Wolfram Alpha, blah, yeah.
Yeah, too many R's.
Apparently the true answer is 25 miles per hour.
Really?
It
African or European?
Kind. It doesn't say.
I'm excited about the thread started by TRP because NaNoWriMo is less than a month away.
Yay.
And I am a big fan of NaNoWriMo. I have attempted it every year since 2003, I think.
Oh, can I interrupt you real fast? Wolfram yes. Alpha actually does say, assuming estimated average cruising airspeed of an unladen European swallow, then it gives you the option, use estimated average cruising airspeed of an unladen African swallow instead.
So it acknowledges
it acknowledges the joke.
That's good. All right. You want me back, Wolfram.
Actually, Jason, Siri is a little more geeky by way of Wolfram Alpha than you would imagine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe you could turn it into your novel idea for National Novel Writing Month. So anybody who hasn't heard, because I talk about this pretty much every year, the month of November is deemed National Novel Writing Month by NaNoWriMo.org. Great group of people who have put this idea together. And basically every year they have a website that they put up where everyone can gather together as a community, talk to each other, set up write meetings where you can go meet up at coffee shops and everybody writes and kind of shares tips and everything. But the idea is that you put your editor on hold for the month. You write around 1,400 words a day and you try to get to 50,000 words by the end of the month. So whether you have a finished novel or not, if you write 50,000 words in the month, you're a winner of NaNoWriMo. And they make you like cut and paste your document in so they can verify your word count. Then they give you a little badge. It's all in good fun. But the idea is to just get you writing, because the big thing that stops writers from progressing is the fact that they don't find time to write. And I am 100% guilty of that through most of the year. And so I love NaNoWriMo because it gives me a reason to just jump in and say, you know what, I'm going to write. Last year, I had my family in town for Thanksgiving. I had all this stuff going on, but I powered through and I made time to write every day. And it felt great. And I have a novel sitting there that I haven't touched since last November that I need to edit. But at least, you know, I've got something. And United Moon Colonies, which is the book that I finally got around to editing and publishing recently, is a NaNoWriMo book. It was the first time I actually finished NaNoWriMo was with United Moon Colonies. So I am all for it. And it looks like a few other people are in on it too in the thread.
Yeah, TRP started a thread about it. He posted his TripW user account on NaNoWriMo if you want to find him and follow along with his work. And a lot of people seem like they are going to do it this year. And it's something I've always wanted to do. And I'm kind of nervous that I don't have the time, but I think I have a little more time this year.
That's the thing. You always can say you don't have the time. So
right.
I have started every year just because even if I don't think I have the time, I'm going to give it a shot. And it's surprising sometimes how far I can get because I do have more time than.
But Tom, I don't have any good ideas.
That's what this is all about. Is you just sit down and you start writing. Even the stupidest idea that you have is a good place to start.
But I've never written fiction before.
You'll
never written fiction.
Well, you don't have to write fiction. You could write nonfiction if you want, but you'll find out you've got more going on than you thought. Your characters just start to do things that you weren't expecting. And it's a way to just say, you know what? I can go back and edit this later. I can fix it later. I can clean it up later. But let me get the story out first.
I'm so intimidated. Like, I know all what everyone says, you know, just start writing, just do it. You know, there's support groups and classes. And Mike Stackpole does this whole thing at Gen Con, according to one of the forum posters. I lost the thread. But he also did that at Dragon Con, too. He talks about, like, you know, teaches people how to write fiction, basically, gives really great tips. It was Mary posted about Mike Stackpole giving his seminars at Gen Con. And I just, it seems like an awful lot of writing. Like, I've done, like, 1,000 words is a lot, isn't it?
You know, it's probably, if you set aside an hour a day, that's probably enough.
Really?
If you just pound them out. And then sometimes if you've got more than an hour, you can do more than 1,400 and you'll actually get ahead.
This is interesting. Jenny posted a post called No Plot, No Problem, a low stress, high velocity guide to writing a novel in 30 days.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is all about, is the idea that, hey, you know what? You can just do it. Just put it out there.
Okay. I think I want to try.
And get rid of all those excuses that you've been using to stop you that are like, oh, but I don't have a story. Oh, and I don't have time. That's what National Novel Writing Month's all about. It's all about just like, start writing. Get rid of all those excuses. Maybe it'll be crap at the end of the month. But you know what? It probably won't be. And it definitely will give you more experience that you can use to make a better novel out of it.
Okay. I'm convinced. I think I'm going to give it a shot. And now that I've said it publicly, you guys can hold me to it. To at least try. Right? I mean, I should at least try. If this is something
absolutely.
I want to do.
Absolutely. Encourage her, people.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to TVs, movies, and video games. ZenV started a post saying, sell me on Doctor Who. And I found this very relevant to my interests because I am the only one of the people I know in my group of friends that does not watch Doctor Who. And I get a lot of slack for it, frankly. So maybe that's another thing I should try this month of November with all my free time is to watch some Doctor Who. But Zenfi writes, okay, so I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts and it seems every nerdy person is a Doctor Who fan. I know Tom watches Doctor Who and one of the podcasts I listened to had Neil Gaiman, who is also a Doctor Who fan. All right. Well, most of the podcasts I listened to were back episodes of the Nerdist podcast and we all know Chris is a big Doctor Who fan. So he wants to know, you know, why should he watch Doctor Who? Why should people be so intrigued by this story? What about it makes it so appealing? And so people are posting their reasons why.
Yeah, it's a good conversation. I almost don't even want to get in on it. Just because there's better things than I would say in here. Mm-hmm. All I would say is you don't have to watch Doctor Who. You don't feel like you're like culturally illiterate if you don't watch.
I do feel that way though.
But
I have been openly mocked in public forums for mispronouncing things from Doctor Who.
If that that's enough of a reason for you
to not do it
to do it. It's like, look, I just don't want to be mocked anymore. I'm going to watch it. But I think if you do, you'll like it.
I'm just going to feel bullied into it that way, but yeah.
But you're going to enjoy it. It's a fun show and it only gets better over time. It is not high Battlestar Galactica, Lost, or even Dexter, Breaking Bad. It's not like that. This is fun science fiction. And if you don't, you know, try to put the magnifying glass on it and find all the inconsistencies, because there are inconsistencies, mm-hmm. you're going to enjoy it. It's like fast talking, fun, interesting concepts, weird aliens, and compelling characters. And I would start with the Chris Eccleston season and go forward. And then if you feel like, oh, I want to know a little bit more of the backstory, go cherry pick the old ones. But I think that's what daunts a lot of people, is they're like,
do I have to
catch up on 50 years of lore here? And you don't. You absolutely don't. If you start with the reimagining, the restart of the Eccleston season, then you'll be fine. They take into account that a lot of people don't know the backstory. You can go watch those Dalek episodes and Cybermen episodes from the old series when you want.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll try that too. But hey, did you watch The Walking Dead?
I did.
Oh, gosh.
As a fan of the comic book, I am confused and entertained they're going about things.
Did you watch The Talking Dead afterwards?
No, I didn't.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. Oh, we just watched it on the DVR late.
So did. Oh, okay. Because Chris Hardwick is hosting.
Because I was watching the Cardinals win the National League Championship.
Oh, baseball. That's baseball, right? Baseball.
That's baseball.
Chris Hardwick is hosting a show called The Talking Dead that comes on right after The Walking Dead.
No, I'm too insanely jealous to watch Chris Hardwick be awesome.
Why? What does that even mean?
Say, so, you know, because he's got all the jobs that I would like to have.
Oh.
And he's really good at it.
He is good. He is good. But you're good too.
I should record that and watch it though. I'm only kidding. Chris is great.
He is great. And so they did a they bring on people from that work on the production team, like the producer and the comic writer, and whose name is escaping me right now. And they brought on what's his name? What's the comedian's name? Why didn't I write this down?
The comedian?
Damn it. Hold on. I'm going to have to look this up real fast. Everyone in the audience is probably like, it's so-and-so, you dummy.
See, that's why we need a chat room.
We should start doing some Google Hangouts and have Google Hangouts while we're doing the show.
Just so we can use the hive mind, if for no other reason.
Yeah. Wow. I think there was already a podcast called The Talking Dead. Interesting.
Is it hosted by Chris Hardwick?
It's not.
Oh. No.
But I think it might have been around before that. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm trying to find this answer.
Talk amongst yourselves. There's only me.
Talk to yourself.
Okay, well, let me tell you. I liked The Walking Dead, but as a comic book fan, it was weird to me that you sort of start the episode with something familiar, then it goes totally weird, and then you end the episode with something totally familiar, and it goes totally like crazy like it does. Few things are still bothering me. It's a little more soap opera like than the actual comic was. The comic was a little more fast paced. It moved from one thing to another. We spent a lot of time with character introspection here. Mm-hmm. A few characters are still there that weren't in the comic, and a few characters are not there that were in the comic. So that's always going to happen. But largely, I think they have preserved the general feel of that comic book, which is that you are on your own. And this world is hard to be in, and it's not, you know, it's not like everyone can rise above. Everything's just going to keep wearing you down. And you really felt that in this episode of like, okay, here's our heroes, and they finally escaped, and now they're going to prevail, and oh, crap, a herd of zombies.
Right?
Oh, crap. The next and nobody is safe. You find that out by the end of the show.
So it was Chris Hardwick, and they had executive producer Robert Kirkman, who did the comic as well,
right.
Comedian Patton Oswalt, and James Gunn. And so they talked a little bit about the show and talked about some of the holes in the plot that they found and some of the discrepancies between the comic and the show itself, and how people like Meryl weren't even in the comic book, right?
Yep. Not really, no.
Not really? Okay.
There's a character like him, but doesn't play nearly as large of a role.
Yeah. So they dug into that a little bit. The after show was a little bit too short for my liking. I feel like they really could have dug down more into it if they had a little more time and less commercial breaks. It seems more like a kind of thing you do on a podcast like this one. But they did take live questions from Twitter and from email. So that was neat. And people actually called in and gave questions to the executive producer, which is like really cool concept. You know, you can have some direct feedback from the people working
That's
on the
great.
Show. So I think it's a really great concept. I just wish they had more time to dig down into it, because there are so many questions. Like, why? Like, all right, so the zombies, they can smell people sometimes. This is one of the questions they talked about. Like, how come the zombies can sometimes smell you out, but if you cover yourself with blood, they can suddenly not smell you? And he's like, well, they're not bloodhounds. You know, they don't have like the best sense of smell.
They don't have very good senses of smell.
They can just tell when there's like human fresh meat nearby, basically. So there were some questions I had like that. And then they did a poll of who, all right, if someone's child is missing in the woods, how long would you wait before taking off? Like, how long would you look for that child? And it was like a day, a week, longer, not at all. 99.9% of people said not at all.
What? Not at all.
Not at all. Like, they would not look for the kid. They would just take off. Like, every man for themselves.
That's ridiculous. I obviously didn't vote.
I would have said one day.
I would have said either a day or less than a week. But since one week was the only other option, I wouldn't wait a week. It's just your chances go down so low right at that point that it's almost zero.
I felt like a day was fair.
But a day, at least, yeah.
Yeah. So interesting concept. I'm sure the execution will get better as time goes on or just more cohesive. But I think it's a great idea. And I love that they bring in people from the actual show, like the executive producer. How cool is that? Yeah. That's what you get when you have a show on AMC.
You know, I feel like Lost kind of pioneered this in a way, although there were mm-hmm. plenty of others, but Lost was the one I experienced it, where they realized, hey, if we get the executive producers to interact with the audience, people love it.
Yeah.
And it binds them to the show.
Totally.
Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, executive producers of Lost, did the back half of the Lost podcast. And at first, it was only like 10 minutes. By the end of Lost, they were the podcast, and they were doing like 30 minutes, and they were reading emails and doing all the good stuff that you do in podcasts. And it was great. And now that's sort of the model. Like, Breaking Bad has a podcast where they pull in actors and executive producers, and they all just sit around and they talk about the show and they talk about things and they answer emails, and it's excellent. So I'm glad that that's sort of grown up organically as an attachment that you can listen to, because you just want to hear them talk about what to them is just their boring, you know, everyday job, but to us is like the secrets of the universe, because we're only seeing the one side of it.
Right, totally. So you want to do a quick book check-in? We're running pretty long already,
yeah,
so
we
probably shouldn't
we
do
won't
it for
check
too long.
In. We don't need to check in. We talked a little bit about Reamd. We've just talked a lot about Ready Player One in the past, and until we're ready to wrap it up, I don't think we need to check in. But there was a thread on the Goodreads forum about pre-warning on so that people have time. Mm-hmm. And I was arguing, like, well, we tell you as soon as we know. It's not like we keep it a secret and then pounce it on you.
This is about the announcements for new books?
Yeah. When we announce a new book, you know it pretty much as soon as we do. We don't hide it. So a pre-warning would just be fake, because that's what we do already. So I said, but what it sounds like is that a lot of people feel like they don't have enough time to get a book and get on board with it. So I suggest, well, maybe what we need is an end date. When we kick off a book, we say, well, you've got until this time to finish it. That way, if you know you have to get it from the public library, you can figure, like, okay, I've got 4 months. I've got, you know, 6 weeks to read it. That is, so it'll take me 2 weeks to get it from the library. That'll give me 4 weeks to read it. Okay, I can read it. What do you think of that?
I think it's good to give more time. And that way, even if it is a shorter book, like something like Ready Player One, we can have backup books, or we can have alternate picks and things that people can move to if they want to continue discussing the books, but they've already finished and they're kind of done with talking about a certain story. So I think we just need to give a little more time. I think that's good.
Yeah.
It makes it easier on everyone.
We'll just give more time this time. The next time we kick off a book, though, I suggest we pick an end date.
You mean the secret book that we've known about for a super long time and we're just
don't
not telling
pre-warn
them about?
Them. I am kidding.
No, there's really no book. We have no idea.
Yeah, we don't. We don't ever. That's the thing. People
we don't
think
ever
we have
know.
This like chart and map of, you know, all the books, and we definitely like pick it based on what you're talking about in Goodreads, what we're interested in, what's coming out at the last minute, and then we tell you.
I like to keep it fresh.
Exactly.
The new hotness. But we do have an interesting announcement. We are going to do a little giveaway. On the show.
Big giveaway. Actually,
it's actually a pretty
thin. It's a thin giveaway.
It's a thin giveaway. It's relatively light. I think it's about, you know, under a pound, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's several ounces.
Several ounces. Yeah. It's good for reading on.
It is.
It's not at all bad for the eyes.
Well, it's not as good for Wikipedia, but you can do it.
You can do that. Yeah. You can make selections of stuff you're reading. You can instantly get any book pick we talk about. Just from the air,
bunk.
Just like pluck
well,
it down.
Most of them.
Yeah, we're giving away a Kindle.
The $79 Kindle. Okay, we're not giving away a Kindle Fire
because we are not made of money, people. But we have a $79
yet.
Kindle that we can give away to you. It is the quote Kindle now, the only Kindle just called Kindle. It's the no keyboard version, and we want to give it to you, but you have to do something for us first.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Nothing comes for free.
Why don't you tell them?
We're going to create a thread in the Goodreads forum for this giveaway. Within that thread, you need to write a pitch for a NaNoWriMo story. Now, if you're saying, oh, I see, Tom, you're going to harvest my ideas and steal them. It doesn't have to be the actual story that you write, or if you're not going to do NaNoWriMo, doesn't have to be a story you ever would write. But you just need to give us a pitch. And once you've given us the pitch, you are entered to win, and we will pick someone at random from that thread. Mm-hmm. So granted, your pitch can be anything, but try to make it interesting.
In the spirit of the contest, have fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to give away your ending or your plot. Just say it's going to be about giant robots who hunt for brains. You know, like that could be enough.
Ooh, giant zombie robots, you say?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like an excellent idea. Stolen. Exactly.
Please don't pitch that.
It's too late. I've already written my NaNoWriMo for the month. Yeah. So we want to give it away to someone. Like we mentioned, it will be picked randomly. But like I said, in the spirit of fun, you know, do something creative, come up with a fun idea, and post it in the thread that we'll have in the blog post. And yeah, well, by the end of the month, we want it done by October 30th is preferably when we'd like to wrap this whole thing up, give it a little tight end date. So yeah, I'm excited about it. Good luck to all of you in the spirit of randomness and creativity.
May the spirit of randomness be with you.
All right, you want to go to the emails?
Yes, we got one here from George, occasionally known as GV Dub in various places on the webs. He says, every once in a while, Tom mentions that he's always looking for books. I've also come to the conclusion from a few subtle hints that have been dropped here and there that he is a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to add the following to Tom's reading listing cue, as the audible version of this is a fine performance, Summerland by Michael Chabon, winner of both a Hugo and a Pulitzer. Not too shabby and a thoroughly uncommon combination. YA fantasy, though as a middle-aged geek, I enjoyed the heck out of it as well, about trans-dimensional travel, elves, dwarves, magic, good, evil, and baseball. Not just baseball, but baseball as a metaphor for life. Who knows? It might even be an excellent selection for Sword and Laser. Wow, George, you have intrigued me, and I have heard of this Michael Chabon before, and I have heard of Summerland, but I have never heard it properly pitched to me like that. Elves, dwarves, magic, and baseball, you say?
Yes, the creatures of Summerland.
I like it.
We get it?
I'm definitely going to add it
I was trying to make a Boys of Summer.
I got it. No,
you did?
I did. I just didn't want to call attention to it.
You didn't want to beat them over the head with it? I'm doing really bad with these jokes tonight.
It was just, I was letting that one live.
I apologize. All right. Well, that sounds cool.
It's too late to apologize.
It sounds like something you would be into.
Yeah, just me, huh?
I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I've seen Field of Dreams.
I could see it. Once I'm done with Magician King, I'll be looking around for something. Maybe I'll grab this.
All right. Well, let's take some time to say hello to some new members. We have Dave, David, Luis, Mike, Amir, Jason, Ben, Cappy, Rebecca, and Gregory. Welcome to the forums.
Bienvenidos
a los forums. And yeah, if you want to get in touch with us and send us an email, the email address, as always, is theswordandlaser@gmail.com. The web address is swordandlaser.com. You can find all of our discussions happening over on Goodreads. And hey, if you want to call and leave us a voicemail message that we can play on the show, the phone number is 415-779-6735.
779-6735.
415-779-6735.
That's insane.
Apparently, we have a phone number.
We discovered this because we got wrong numbers from somebody calling for a cab.
This poor guy was a cab driver, and he was trying to come pick someone up in Pittsburgh, and he left us messages. And then I checked the email, and I was like, wait, why do I have voicemail messages in the Sword and Laser inbox? I must have set it up at some point and totally forgotten about it. So
anyway,
give us a call. Call us. Call me. Call us. All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.